And there's the point.
There it is.
We're off and running. Welcome.
Which base are we running towards, though? That's the question.
We're running somewhere. We're not sure where we're going to end up today, but we are glad that you're joining with us. If you are tuning in for the first time, special welcome. If you're coming back, welcome to you too. Special, not welcome. Special? I don't know.
I had somebody, what do they call it? The end of the, wasn't the end of the podcast club. It was the end of something. And I was like, yeah, it's kind of close.
Close. You made close. It. They made it. They made it. They were there enough to know that there's a club.
There's a club that happens at the end.
If you are new, there's a club. You better wait till the end to find out. But we are grateful that you are tuning in to the Heights Unedited Podcast, a podcast featuring real conversations about real life where we dig deeper into the weekend message, as well as answering your questions on faith, culture, and life. John, I got a question about life for you.
Ooh.
When are you getting your cast off, bro?
Oh my gosh, dude. Okay.
It has been a minute since you've been in that thing.
It was supposed to be Friday.
Okay.
Went in and like they were a little busier than normal and they've been amazing. So I got nothing bad to say at all. But it was like, yeah, we want to get 10 weeks out of the pen if we can.
Ugh.
And I just went, are you serious? Like it hurts right now. Can we at least adjust? And it was same cast, still at it. So yeah, a week from Thursday, I think I go and get it off.
Okay.
So
that'll be like close to 3 months. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or over.
December 27th was when the surgery was.
So what? Well over.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I mean, this is all I know in 2025. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Well, good. It's killer.
I can't believe you made it this far, man. I would have gone crazy.
Bro, you should take a shower, hold one hand up.
And that's take a shower. Done
and you got to wash every body part with one hand. Try it sometime. It's a blast.
I'll pass.
Everything just takes longer.
Fun. I'm sure it does. That seems, yeah. Good job, persevering.
I got a question for you.
Okay.
Okay. So last time I saw you, you had a Padres. Well, that's not true. I saw you kind of on Sunday. But last time I saw you, you had a Padres jersey on. You were heading to the Valley for some spring training.
I was, yeah. Spring training game.
How'd it go?
Dude, it's awesome. There's no other environment like a spring training environment. The stadiums are so close. You're real close to the game. My cousin, I didn't know he was going to be there. My cousin actually works for the Padres and in San Diego. He works in their analytics department. He's a mathematician. Guy's super genius. I don't know it's what amazing. Happened to my side of the family, but like he got it. I didn't. But so he's a mathematician. He comes up with like all the stat stuff to help players improve on performance and all that kind of stuff. But he was there and I walk in the stadium and I'm heading to my seats that are cheap and like higher up. And he taps me on the shoulder and I turn around. I'm like, oh, what's up, dude? And he goes, hey, why don't you come sit with me 3 rows behind from the field, right behind home plate.
That's awesome.
Heck yeah. So it was like perfect. I went down on Wednesday. It was beautiful weather. And then I went on Friday to a different game, to the A's game. My friend who came, he's an A's fan. So we went there. It was so cold and raining that we were like, we were sticking it out because we're like, we paid for this, but we're like shivering.
Did they play
like,
in the rain?
Oh yeah. They kept playing. I'm like,
what?
They got to cancel this at some point. They didn't.
Oh, I didn't know they played in the rain.
Oh yeah. I mean,
baseball players are kind of babies when it comes to the weather. Okay. Right?
Okay. Listen, that was unnecessary, but it wasn't like crazy pouring. It was a little bit of rain and it was so stinking cold though.
It has to affect everything when it's like the ball can't travel as far.
Everything is affected by it.
Yeah.
Which at that point I'm like, I don't even understand.
Is it dangerous when it rains?
I mean, the conditions are like you're just slipping all over the place.
I mean, you're throwing a ball 100 miles an hour at somebody and they can't see.
Yeah, it's slippery.
Yeah.
The ball slips out for sure. But yeah, no, I love spring training. I wish I would have got 2 sunny days and not just one, but
for sure.
I'll take what I can get.
And your buddy got the awesome rainy day.
Yeah. For his game. He wanted to see his team. And I'm like, all right, bro, I had to take him to the airport. So afterwards we just like went and hung out at a Buffalo Wild Wings. I'm like, we got like 2 hours, man. Like I'm just going to sit here and go watch sports indoors. That's so much better. All right, well, here we go. We got a 5-star review. Let's do some podcast things instead of just talking about other things.
I sidetracked us with...
You did. You did. We do a 5-star review coming in. If you would like to review the show, I encourage you to do so. You can review us on the Apple Podcast app or through the Apple Podcast store. Go ahead and review us there. But we do have a 5-star review coming in from Brittles Boo. Brittles Boo says, John's like, I need to know. Okay, I need to make a comment.
Okay, I need it. Okay, is it like Brittles Boo or is it Brittles Boo? You know, like what is it?
John, we're gonna let you run with that. You could just think about that. But
who is Brittle? I want to know who Brittle is.
Well,
now.
Brittle says this: so thankful for this gift. The content is amazing. Love hearing more of the sermons after the fact, and also getting answers to real world questions.
Oh, that's awesome!
Yeah. So thank you, Brittle.
Very kind. Very, very kind.
Very, very kind. We'd love for you to submit your 5-star review. We're starting to rack up the 5-star reviews, which is amazing. So thank you guys for that.
It's amazing they're 5 stars. It's amazing. Let's be honest.
Yeah. It's amazing that they're coming in, and it's amazing that they're 5 stars. But we do have some questions we're going to hop into right now. The question that I think the whole church has been wondering for years, and this truly came in, I didn't make this up. Why does John only wear sweatshirts?
I don't only wear sweatshirts.
You only wear sweatshirts, bro. This is the myth.
Okay, I got really bad tattoos.
That's a lie.
I don't know what you guys mean. I don't wear sweatshirts all the time.
Oh, my gosh. See,
okay, so here's the
classic
thing.
Classic avoidance.
True story. I run cold. And if you have been, like this time of year, everybody's got a sweatshirt on, right? But in the summer, you go from your air-conditioned house to your air-conditioned car to the air conditioned office, which Pastor Bob keeps extremely cold at all times.
True statement.
And so for me, I already run cold. And so it just is a natural thing to wear. But if you go on vacation with me, I got t-shirts on.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you had arms or what. And then I was on a trip with you and I was like, what? There it is. He's in a t-shirt. So I can vouch for
actually
it.
Actually, have
seen
arms.
It. He's worn a t-shirt.
I do have arms.
He does have arms there.
You know, I don't know when I started wearing sweatshirts, where I just gave up. I don't know when I gave up.
We'll get to that later as we dive into this stage of spiritual development that we're going to get to. We do have another question in from Anonymous that asked this. They first asked the sweatshirt question, but then they said this. Hey, what is the purpose of fasting and how important is it and how long is it appropriate? So we see fasting throughout scripture, giving something up intentionally. Why would you do that? Food is most normally what is associated with fasting.
Yeah, I would say first, a fast can be pretty much anything. Mm-hmm. You can choose intentionally, I'm not going to partake in this, whatever it happens to be, right? And so this time of year, Lent especially, people often will give up something for Lent. And the purpose being in giving it up when I want that thing or when I would normally partake in that thing. So let's say it's food, because like you said, that's the most common, right? That's what you see in scripture. And so within that, the idea is when I'm hungry, that's a chance for me to be reminded of a bigger purpose why I'm doing it. So if it's connection to God, then that would be my time to invest into that relationship, right? A lot of times when people fast, they'll go through, hey, I'm going to skip lunch, but I'm going to still take a lunch and intentionally spend time with God, right? A lot of times people fast when they're looking for a very specific prayer. And so something in their life that they're looking for God to give them an answer to, or they're looking for clarity on. A lot of times if it's a decision coming up, people will fast and pray to be intentional into asking God. And the fasting really becomes a moment to be reminded, to draw near, to there's an element of it that when you give something up, you put something else in its place.
Right.
And so that it's that kind of idea.
Yeah. And so following with that, I know depending on what the thing that you're fasting from is, I mean, people do social media fasts, they do fasts like that from other things, not just food. What is an appropriate length of time for a fast?
I think it completely depends. I would say this, if you're going to do food, be careful. Like it, in the sense of if you're going to prolong going without food, there is an onboarding to it that your body needs and there's an offboarding to it. And so if it's a short fast, then it's probably not a big deal, but just be careful. Like you see Jesus who's, you know, goes into the wilderness and it's a prolonged time where, man, I wouldn't recommend, hey, go off and live in the wilderness and don't eat, right? Like, right. like you're going to have to build your body into that. And there's a lot of resources online to help with that. I think the appropriate length is really determined by you. I think it's determined. So Lent is, if I remember right, Lent is 40 days before. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's a 40-day fast that goes with that. I know a lot of people, Pastor Ben is one that often kicks off the beginning of his year. He was at a church where they would do a 21-day fast. And so he kicks off his year with 21 days of fasting and prayer. And that's a rhythm he picked up from the church. I think it's Church of the Highlands that do it. But it's common that, you know, start of the year is 21 days. And then there's, and some of that has to do with habit, right? Like that you, after so many days, you break a habit, right? Like, and so 21 days is a part of that habit breaking, which is why you'll see that commonly at the beginning of a year. Right. 40 is often found in scripture. And so it really depends on what you are doing it for and what's appropriate to what you're doing it for.
Right.
So there's no magic number of what you should do.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. You know, there's a lot of things in scripture that I think we see and just kind of go, what does that actually mean? You know, so great question. Thank you for submitting that. If you have questions, we'd love to answer those questions as well. You can submit those by emailing us at unedited@heightschurch.com. But we are going to hop into the weekend and talk a little bit about the weekend. We are getting towards the end of the critical journey that we've been walking through.
One more week.
It's been an awesome journey though.
Yeah.
Just been super cool to see the different stages of our spiritual growth, our spiritual development, identify where it's at, maybe even identify like, man, someday I'm going to be at that place.
Yeah.
Or realize, and maybe I need to be more intentional in a life of discipleship, or maybe I need to be the one serving, or, you know, there's just been a lot of recognition of not only where we are, but maybe where we want to be throughout this.
There's a great testimony of a lady this weekend who she shared that stage four of the conversation last week, she felt like, if I remember the story right, she felt like she's been in stage four for about 8 years. Mm. And that to put language to it and to understand it was like just a gift to be able to process where, and then another lady that had mentioned that last week felt like rushing water to her. That might have been the same lady. The second one was, man, I got this all butchered now. We're unedited, so there you go. But the second one, I believe, was she's been in stage four, and last week gave her vision to see what her last block was, and she was able to overcome that last week, which is just beautiful. Yeah.
So, well, kudos to her for 8 years in that stage. That's to stick around.
Yeah.
Usually you would have left by that time. So that's super painful. That's awesome. But this week we kind of turned a corner to not necessarily the introspective, painful, difficult ones, but into a pretty exciting stage, which is the outward journey. This idea of just surrendering to God, unafraid of the consequences of obedience, right? There's, it's just reckless abandon. Like, man, here it is. And this outward journey, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but this outward journey really is like, you know, you're serving God. You're caring more about others than you are yourself. You're just kind of pushing forward with that, which really reminds me of stage three, right? Mm-hmm. So stage three, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the serving God, working for God, doing all these things for him, and they're really an outward expression as well. What is the difference between stage three and stage five on this journey?
Yeah, I think you're right on that. They feel very similar. In fact, the authors of the book even say, you know, people often confuse themselves. They're in stage three, and then they hear about five, and they're so similar that often it's, wait, which one am I in? I think the best way for me to understand kind of walking through this has been the death of self. Mm-hmm. Like when I look back at my, and we've talked about this a little bit, but when I look back at my journey, I can see so much ego and so much self in stage three. And so, I'm busy for God. I'm doing for God. It's all in God's name. But when I look back at kind of the heart posture and look back at what the wins were. I was thinking about this within youth ministry. You know, you get so excited over man, I taught that passage in a way that I don't know if I've ever heard it before, right? Like, and it was like this benchmark of like, yeah, type thing. Or you do a collection, right? And your branding was so, and then all the students are talking about it, and you're just so pumped, or it's an event you throw, right? And it makes it to where you want it to make it. It makes it into the high school, and now it's this viral moment for the high school, and you see this, you see people that have never been to church before coming because of some of it. And it's real easy to, man, it's all in the name of Jesus. Kids were meeting Jesus. They were in life groups. They're growing. They're in student leadership. And yet, like, if I just analyze John in stage three doing work for God, it feels like there's an awful lot of ego. There was an awful lot of self. There was an awful lot of, I've got to impress you. There's an awful lot of, I've got to prove my worth to you. I've got to be the best, right? So the wins then, we would never say those were the wins. But as I sit and analyze, I go, man, we go to winter camp and, you know, Heights, we were taking a bunch of kids like you guys did this year, and they cheer for their leaders, right? And there's something that if you're not careful, the ego feels in that moment.
Oh, yeah.
So I think for me, really understanding God had to, and I'm not done. Like, please don't hear, oh, John's ego free now. Like it's still a process. But I feel like when I look back over the last decade at what God's done, He's really been putting to death me, right? Like, and I think of Paul where he goes, you know, it's no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. Like, I feel like I'm just getting the taste of what that actually means, right? I taught that verse how many times? Now I feel like, wait a minute, this is what it feels like to have gone through a death, which is why, to your point, stage five, the journey outward should feel like a rebirth, right? Like, if I have been serving, it's more out of just simple obedience or don't want to let people down, or I just got to keep going, versus when you step into stage five, it's like, I can't believe I get to do this, right? Like, I get to be a part. And so stage five really becomes this shift outward where the motivation has totally changed.
Yeah.
It's no longer driven by me wanting to impress you. It's no longer driven by this insatiable desire to win. There's no longer this, hey, I've got to somehow prove my worth so that you want to stick around. It's like, man, no, I just got to point you to Jesus, right? Yeah. Like, in His worth. So it's this whole different. And so probably the best way to explain, yes, both are doing work, both are serving, both are outward focused, both are hopefully loving others well.
Mm-hmm.
The internal part of this is now holistic versus over here. It's you're saying the right things, you're doing it for the right reasons outwardly, but inwardly, there's a whole lot that God's got to do.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's good. I was kind of self-reflecting through this whole stage and just, you know, trying to figure out even where I'm at on this critical journey.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that kind of made me realize that I had the wrong motivation in so much of the ministry that I've done in the past. Kind of came full circle during teaching prep this last week. So literally during teaching prep, I got an email about a book that I've wrote years ago. And the email was from the publisher saying, hey, we're going to stop production of this book.
Wow.
Just want to let you know this is happening. And
that's a hard day.
So yeah. Something that I had worked for. Yeah. I mean, I had book launch parties and all these things that were amazing when it first came out. And it was like, you know, something I've been so proud of and so excited for, and just all this stuff. And then to be sitting in a meeting and get an email saying, hey, we're actually stopping production of this completely.
Yeah.
And my response to it was like, oh, okay. That's okay. I'm okay with that.
Isn't that weird?
You know? And it's a response that I never would have expected. And it was so ironic. As soon as I ended up reading that, you're sharing, hey, I think this is what I'm going to teach this weekend on the outward journey and what it looks like. And I'm like, oh man, I relate to that now.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have years ago, but I feel like, you know, it we're at a place now where it's like, man, I understand a little bit more of this stage and in a personal way.
What would have been the response of stage three, Todd, to that email?
Man, I would have been devastated, really, because my identity was in that. A piece of it was in that. I was yeah, it was for God. It was awesome. It helped a lot of people.
Yeah.
But also it was for me. It was for man recognition. And, you know, I would go speak places and have a book table out in the lobby and would make money and, you know, all those things. It was just, that's what I had tied accomplishment, worth, value, how I was seen, all that to it.
Yeah.
You know,
and in church world, I mean, I don't know if you felt this way, but like in there was such pressure in the youth days of, okay, you got to have a thriving youth group, right? Like you got to have a great band. And then the next natural thing is you're going to write a book or you're going to get speaking opportunities, or it was never the people in front of you. It was always what's next on the horizon, right?
And
I felt like culturally that was pushed like everywhere you look. I don't know how you felt, but I felt like the people I was looking to that are ahead on this journey, they're pushing this culture, right? Yeah. Like that this, if you're going to be successful, if you're going to have a career, right? Like then this is what you've got to be driving towards. And so for me, I felt like it was just the next natural thing. Like you got to be driving towards these benchmarks.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And you can get so tangled up in it too. And I feel like in that mentality, you end up hitting a wall almost of your own creation in some regards.
Yeah.
But you get to that place where, you know, even just looking at this critical journey, we see the stages and we see the steps and we see this stage specifically as the outward journey of going, I'm not really tied down by people's opinions. I'm not tied down by those things. Like I just want to serve God and it's an outward piece of it. So let me ask you this. You had mentioned
You just made me think about Pastor Bob. He used to look at me so many times because he did high school and I was doing mid-high. So many times he would look at me, he's like, why? Why do you feel like you need to do that? It's so funny looking back, because I would look at him and go, how can you not have music? Like how can you just have him come in a room and sit down and eat pizza and hang out, like, and have meaningful conversation? Like, what are you doing program wise? It's so funny. And he's like, I don't know. I don't care.
That's so good. Let me ask you this, though, on the outward journey. If you're others focused and it's not for the recognition, it's not for, you know, playing into the consequences, being afraid of the consequences of obedience or anything like that.
Such a great phrase.
How does this play into an understanding of our calling? Would you say that when you're in the outward journey, you're living into your calling, you've identified it and you've stepped in, or is it something that you're kind of still discovering, but you're in a place where you're open to it, or like, how does it play into your calling?
Yeah, I think you discover, again, it's back to rebirth, right? And so I think because it feels so much like new life, like I've been given a whole new lease, I see the world completely different, that all of a sudden I start to analyze, you know, we're doing it with youth ministry. People do it with their careers, where they start to go, oh man, like so much of my role is not with people. So much of my role is this internal, and they'll go, I got to go get a different job, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's a sense of calling on, man, God is moving me to something much bigger to be a part of in the kingdom, right? Like he's given me fresh eyes to see opportunity.
The importance of things starts to diminish and you're like, that's really not that important. I've invested a lot of time, energy, and effort into that. Yeah. I'd rather do something that matters.
Yeah, and you see it quite a lot with people who make life changes later in life. Something's happened like a wall, some kind of inward journey's happened, and they come out the other side and go, I'm not the same person.
Yeah.
The stuff that, you know, I and depending on their age, you look at and you go, I got another 15 years. I don't want to give my life to this. And so there's this sense of like, I've got to be accountable. I've got to be obedient, void of the consequences. So often you'll hear people make a shift and you're like, doesn't that pay less?
Yeah.
And it's like they're like, yeah, but it doesn't matter because it's more fulfilling, right? Is what you'll hear them say. Or we see it in church world where people will leave jobs in the outside of the church that are paying way more than the church will pay to go, no, something happened, something shifted, something's changed, and I feel like God is calling me to be a part of this, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the same not only in the church, but I think that happens outside of it.
Yeah, that's good. So as we've talked about each one of these stages, we've talked about cautions within that stage. If you find yourself in this stage, what about this one? Are there any cautions? Is there anything that we should be looking out for if you find yourself in this stage and you go, okay, this could be a pitfall, not just a positive thing?
Yeah, I think the danger could be detachment, and caring too little about stuff that you still got to care about.
Okay.
You had language for it that's why I was laughing, because I think your language is the best. What did you say earlier?
I don't know. I think of somebody who just like stops caring and doesn't shower anymore and whatever. I'm just gonna, you know, like
I don't need to shower. Yeah. And I think that's the, so the danger with that is not that, I think the beauty is you just don't hold things the same. You just don't care at the same level. Like obviously I talked about clothes this weekend, right? Obviously I still care like about what I buy and why I buy it and that kind of stuff. But I just don't enjoy the process of shopping anymore.
Yeah.
I just don't want to put my time into it. And so I think, or I don't want it to have my heart is maybe a better way to say it. And so I think there's a piece of it where within the cautions, we can become detached from everything and only attached to things that we think matter, right? Like, but that's just not realistic, right? You still live in this world. You still have to stay attached to certain things and you still have to be aware. And so one of the cautions is you can just kind of drift off.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you need to come back. You need to come back. Like,
okay. All right. Yeah. This stage is interesting to think about like that. But,
and I think, just to add to that, I think maybe one of the clearest senses in the Bible we get of somebody who fought against that is the Apostle Paul, where you look at, he goes, hey, I count everything behind me as nothing, but I press on towards this goal, right? To win the calling, what is it? Calling heavenward in Christ Jesus, something like that. Or you hear him make the statement, right? Like to live as Christ, to die as gain, or I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I think those are the moments we get to see real time in the Apostle Paul, where someone who is at this stage five, new life, know what they have, he's still anchoring it in mission, vision, and then he's still very aware of the people around him.
Right, right. Well, good stuff. We do have one stage left that we will discuss in more depth
next week.
Life of love. We'll get there, but it's been great. It's been awesome. We do have a couple questions that we are going to answer right now. So we got a question in from Brittany. Brittany asks this. She said, could you talk about the true meaning of the marriage covenant biblically? She follows it up by saying, we live in a culture that devalues marriage covenants and family commitments. It's very easy to be tempted to just give up. And so what is a marriage covenant?
Wow. Just lob that right across the table.
There you go.
Are we playing ping pong? Can I give it back?
Hey, I ask them, you answer.
I think the marriage covenant, obviously, it's not something we made up. And so you got to go back biblically, go back to Genesis. What I love about Genesis is the progression. And within the progression, you have Adam, who's got his relationship with God. And it's not lacking with God. It's lacking with others. And then you've got Eve, who's created, and she's alone with God. And then God brings them together. And I think there's such importance to that, especially in our day and age of like, and being equally yoked of people that have got a relationship with God, because the covenant that you're joining is a covenant that God's put in place. So if God's not at the center going in, and then within Genesis, then obviously you've got, for this reason, you know, you're going to leave your father and mother, and then it says that they'll be united, right? They'll be one flesh. And so there's something to the covenant that God designed that is about taking two and obviously putting them in a state of oneness, that there's something there that Jesus then picks up on. It's actually in Matthew 19. The Pharisees come to him and they're testing him. They say, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? Haven't you heard, he replied, that at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female. And for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. And this is the part that stands out to me. Therefore, what God has joined together. So let no one separate. So what's interesting in that to me, when you talk about the actual covenant piece, is you got two humans standing. I mean, you've done weddings, right? You're standing there, and there's horizontal, like what I mean by that is person to person promises, mm-hmm. right? There's a covenant being made person to person, but there's also a vertical covenant that's being made, right? Like that you're also making promises to God and before God. And I love the Jewish culture on this, where the huppah, they would stand under it, and that was like a visual of God's presence. We just don't we do, you know, different arbors and whatever at this point. But I think the idea behind those was it was a reminder that God's presence is here, and yeah. you're doing this in his presence. And so the biblical covenant, then, when Jesus talks about it, there's almost something mysterious that Jesus goes, what God has joined. So there's something that happens within that, that God is joining them together, right? Like that then he goes, let no one separate. So I think the biblical, answering the first part of that, the true meaning is, man, we're taking vows to each other, and we're taking those also in the presence of God, and he's the one kind of cementing this together, right? Which is why people use all different ways to try and kind of picture that, whether it's the three strands of rope or mm-hmm. the different candles with the sand, and you could never pull them apart. Like all that kind of stuff is all ways that people are just trying to visually go, this covenant is binding with God.
Right.
Right. Which is why you follow that passage on. They're like, well, why did Moses then give the command of divorce? And Jesus specifically said, it's because your hearts were hard. Mm-hmm. So there's this piece of it where the covenant means so much more than we've allowed. Like right now, I don't know how you feel, but it almost feels like, hey, to get married is just the next step, right? Like we hang out long enough, we really like each other, we're in love. Well, the next step, because we're at the right age, is that we should get married and see how this goes, right? Versus that moment of marriage being, no, I'm committing to something, and I'm committing my whole life to it,
yeah,
right? And it's unknown at that point. I met with a guy last week, and we were chatting. His wife's got some health stuff, and obviously Cindy does. And we were just saying, you know, did you ever think when you stood at the altar I was 20, right? Like, did I ever think in sickness and in health, right? Like what that actually
right.
I'm committing to. And of course, as a 20-year-old, I didn't. But obviously now it's like, wow, that commitment looks way different than I ever thought it would.
Right.
But being done before God, that's where you hold to.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the other place we see in scripture, this covenant is between God and man, yep. right? Through
yep.
Jesus.
Yep.
And the analogy that God uses with the church and Jesus and what Jesus came yep. for was for the bride of Christ, yep. which is the church. And this idea of marriage, this idea of a marriage ceremony, a covenant ceremony
yeah.
is what the picture we get of God's relationship with us through Jesus and yep. the church. And I just think that the weight that carries should also be taken into consideration when we realize the weight that marriage carries and the covenant of marriage as well.
Yeah.
Knowing that that's the picture God chose to use. And man, that's not torn apart, right? Yeah. That's not taken apart so lightly good. And easily. And
so good.
You know, the question specifically. That's where
Paul goes, right? Paul goes to that when he tells husbands to love their wives
right.
as Christ loves the church. And I think it's interesting too. You go all the way to the end, and what's portrayed is a marriage feast.
Yeah.
And so yeah, the idea of marriage and the covenant of marriage. Yeah, absolutely. And then what you see with Jesus and his church.
Yeah. And then I think that's where we take it lightly. Like you had said, it's just a cultural thing. I'll just get married. It's not yeah. that big of a deal. And it's like, yeah, but when you see it that way, it's a lot easier to give up when you see it as this covenant and understand what a covenant is. Covenant is also something that required a lot of work. What did Jesus do for the church? He died for them. And so there's work required. When it gets hard, it's easy to give up instead of realizing that hard things are worth it.
Yeah.
You know,
and, to keep it, he died.
Yeah.
Right. Which goes back to the critical journey that we have to die to ourselves to truly live. And yeah, it's well connected.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Well, Brittany, thanks for that question. I appreciate that. If you have more questions, keep them coming. We love to answer questions. So here we go. Another question that we have right now. Steve wrote in.
Can I go back to the last one?
This.
Sorry.
Well, we've already started the next.
I know, but I just, so her last line got me.
Okay.
It's tempting to give up.
Yeah.
When you put the context you just put to it, that I'm a picture of Jesus in his church, right? That gives me a reason to fight.
Yeah.
But I would just say, what I was going to say was, we're here to walk alongside.
Yeah.
There's plenty of helps to go along with that. And so as you come across people, so Brittany, as you come across people or you're in conversations where people are fighting for their marriages, like the church wants to help you fight for your marriage, right? Like we want to support that, and we have ways to do that. So if you know somebody, if you're listening to this, you know somebody and you're like, man, they need somebody to help. We're here to help with that.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Sorry.
Steve asks this question. Pastor John frequently mentions that the Holy Spirit told him something. How does he hear the Spirit speaking, and how can we learn to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us too?
Steve, it's a great question. It's not a cut and dry answer, unfortunately. It's not. It's not
a three-step process for us.
What did they always say? It's not prescriptive.
Yeah, it's not descriptive.
Descriptive.
Yeah.
And so yeah, it's the idea for me. The way it works for me is, I just get a sense. I either have a thought out of nowhere. I am sitting. Sometimes I'm falling asleep and I have a thought out of nowhere, and I'll write the thought down and come back to it the next morning with the Lord and be like, was this of you or is this of me? Mm-hmm. Right. Like, and, sometimes it's sitting in the morning reading and just spending time quiet before the Lord that I'll internally feel this like fresh thought. Internally I'll feel like, hey, we're not supposed to do that. Internally. And we've talked about this, I'm pretty sure, but there's very few times I will come in and go, the Holy Spirit told me we are doing this, right? It's coming into community and going, I have a sense the Spirit's talking and leading. Here's what I'm feeling. Here's what I'm seeing and sensing. And often for me, what's affirmation of the Spirit is what's happening in others,
right?
That when others affirm it, or others in that moment will speak into it even. Like sometimes it's crazy because you'll sit down and go, hey, I think the Holy Spirit is leading us towards this. And somebody else goes, I had the exact same feeling, mm-hmm. right? Like I had the exact same. So how does he speak? It's not an audible voice. It's not, it's inside. There's this peace that comes. There's this fresh thought that comes. There's this, you're heading a certain way and it doesn't feel right. And so you sit with the Lord and go, what is this and why? And he just works it out. And so I think learning encouragement for somebody who's learning how to discern the Holy Spirit's voice, I would say you got to get quiet. Mm. You got to get quiet. You got to choose your input. That I can't have constant input that's whether it's TV, whether it's media, whether it's whatever, right? Friends, it could even be conversations with friends about whatever. I can't have constant that and expect that the Holy Spirit, there's going to be a closeness to feel a nudge. I have to slow down before God and I have to be present with God. Some people, that's worship that does that. Some people, it's reading that does that. Some people, it's being outside and just getting quiet that does that. But, and then the posture of prayer, like just asking the Holy Spirit. I came across this week. Somebody said, they learned just to ask the Holy Spirit, right? Like they learned that they could ask for stuff.
Right.
And so I would say, Steve, I would just ask him, like, what is it you want to know?
Yeah.
And just ask him. He wants to speak to you. And so often we assume he doesn't, or we assume it's, he's got more important stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I would say exactly what you just said. I would just say it this way. It's putting yourself in a place to hear.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you it's wanted good. To hear from me verbally right now, but you go into the other room and close the door, it's going to be a lot harder to hear. I think the voices that you allow to be the loudest in your life are going to shape if you're going to be able to hear the quiet voice of the Holy Spirit. So yeah. What I mean is exactly what you just said. If media and friends and all these things are the loudest voice in your life, instead of the Word of God and spending time in prayer, talking to God and all these things, if you put yourself in a place where those are the loudest voices, yep. You've put yourself in a place where you can hear from Him, and you're going to hear from Him in ways. And it might be through those avenues as well. It might be through scripture. It might be through those things. For me, that's where I feel like God speaks to me, is when something in a verse that I've read 100 times just pops out. I go, well, that's what God wants to tell me right now.
So good.
But it's because I put myself in that place. And
yep.
It's not a walking around with the Bible all the time, but it's when you start your day with the Bible, where you start your day just making sure the loudest voices are ones that are going to lead you to hearing from the Spirit, then you hear from the Spirit throughout the day.
Yep. Yep. So good. So yeah. Good. That was a hot toddy take.
Hot toddy take. Know. Boom.
But it was, if you go in the other room and close the door, you ain't going to hear us good.
You ain't going to hear. Oh, man. Well, good time today. Just being able to discuss this stuff is so life-giving. I know that we hear from a lot of people how good it is for you guys. I just want you to know on the other end of it, I'm not going to speak for John, but man, I have such a great time just having these conversations, and it's been awesome that we get to share these with you as well. Thank you for listening. Thank you for rating and reviewing and writing in questions. All of those things help us make this show possible. So continue to do that. Continue to be awesome. If you made it this far, you've made it to the end of the podcast club. And that is what you get for making it to the end of the podcast.
I made the beard
smile.
You get
to hear. Oh,
he smiled.
It might have been a good one.
We got it.
There we go. I know. I heard that the button last week, when we kept pushing the button, you couldn't actually hear it on the podcast very well. So that was cool.
It's so loud in here.
I was like, oh man, it's going to be like peaking the microphones and all this stuff, but apparently not. So
yeah, you were like, we're really obnoxious right now. Nobody could hear it.
Yeah. And they were like, we couldn't hear that. So,
so good.
If you haven't listened to the last episode and know what we're talking about, you should do that too.
Should check it out.
But thank you guys so much for sticking with us this far. Final thought for you today. Listen, we've all been created to love others. That's what God has put inside of us. And as we walk this critical journey, there becomes a time where things just don't matter as much as serving Jesus and loving Him and loving others that way. And we hope that you find yourself at that place on the journey someday. Maybe it's far off. Maybe you're in that spot right now. But all of us can take a step closer to Jesus today and let go of the things that are holding us back. Let go of those things that entangle us, if you will, and just focus on the things that matter, which is Jesus. So thank you guys so much for being with us, and we will see you next week.
Love you guys.